This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. It is The Fan Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole here with you until 5:40 when we get started with The Fan Morning Show pre-show. It's a Thursday morning before the Steelers and Patriots match up on Sunday night, and the Steelers get their regular season started. And for me, I don't know, this has just been such a long week. How are we only at a Thursday? My goodness. And then when I started the work week, I mean, I started on Monday with Mr. Ron Cook hosting the Fan Morning Show, but it normally is a shorter week here with Labor Day, but I just feel like everything is just dragging towards this matchup because I've been looking forward to it for so long. And so I'm going to kind of stay away from the hard preview stuff today of Steelers-Patriots because I feel like I've done that already and we'll probably do more of it on Friday tomorrow. And something happened yesterday and I can't look past it. I've tried in the past. I told myself coming into this year, you know what, when this guy does stuff, I'm just not going to pay attention to it. He's in the past. I can't look past Antonio Brown and his antics. I've come to a different conclusion on him. That I'm so much more of a fan. Oh, let me back up. A fan's maybe too strong a word. I'm more of a recreational observer, let's say, of him now than maybe I ever have been before. And that might seem weird to say. And by the way, it's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. It might be weird to say about a guy who's not in black and gold anymore, but that's precisely the reason why I'm more of a fan of his, quote-unquote, than I ever have been before. So if you're unsure of what I'm referring to, yesterday, if you were living under the social media rock, I guess, AB put on his Instagram a letter from Raiders general manager Mike Mayock. And he was fining him nearly $14,000 for missing practice on August 22nd. And he also fined him $40,000, it was revealed in that letter, for missing camp on August 18th. So if you're keeping up here, let's get this straight. In 4 days, Antonio Brown lost $53,950. Okay? So anyway, he posts this picture and says, quote, "When your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now, devil is a lie." Now, I've been told by some people who are up in the rap game that that is a Rick Ross lyric. I did not know that. I should have known that as a millennial. Anyway, everyone got to pay this year, just so we clear. For me, he's just purely entertainment. He's purely a sideshow. He's a circus. It's all part of the gripping entertainment that is the NFL. And guess what? We don't have to deal with the consequences of it. We can just sit back and watch it. And apparently Merrill Hodge was on with the PM team yesterday and completely ripped into Antonio Brown. Let's get to some of the things that he had to say about Brown. This was mere hours after it was released on social media and he came on with the PM team.
They're like, well, he works hard. Okay. Well, there ain't a bigger line of garbage than he works hard. Everybody in the NFL works hard. Everybody works. Anybody who's a good pro works hard. Because you work hard, it doesn't take you away from being a bad pro. He's a horrendous pro.
Horrendous pro, he continues.
That is not how you want to model yourself in any profession, how he handles himself. And I want to hear people go, well, he works hard. I don't care. It's irrelevant. He's a bad pro that works hard then.
Okay, one more.
He's an irrational person. You can't have rational conversations with people like that. You'll never do it. You're not going to change that.
Yeah, Merrill, I agree with a lot of what he had to say, but he's a little bit too mad for me. Like, okay, I'm not going to be that upset about the way that Antonio Brown acts because as I said before I played those clips, like, we can just sit back and watch him, first of all, be great on the field, okay? He can still make fantastic plays. There's no denying that he is one of the best receivers in the league. He might have been the best receiver ever to play for the Steelers. I don't know. I mean, there's, you can make arguments for those 70 Steelers, Stallworth, Swan. I mean, those guys, obviously, for what they accomplished in the four Super Bowls, you can make an argument that they were better, but pure numbers and stats, Antonio Brown might be the best to have ever played in a Steelers uniform. So we can still sit back and watch him make fantastic plays on the field and marvel at just the way he's able to beat defenders and he's able to catch the ball in space and in traffic. And yet we don't have to deal with the consequences of his nutty behavior anymore. It's amazing. We can just be entertained by the concoction of the train wreck and the talent that he is. It's kind of like grandparents giving treats and sugar to their grandkids while they're watching them at night. They can just load them up, feed the machine, and then whenever their parents come, they just pass off all the responsibility. That's kind of what I feel like Antonio Brown is right now. We're getting all the best of Antonio Brown because we can still watch him on the field and watch him be great, although it's not with the Steelers. And I'll get to why we can still enjoy him being great on the field. And yet when he does reckless things, like post to Instagram a letter from his GM that was fining him, we don't have to worry about what that means for the Steelers. It's fantastic. We're in the best position possible with Antonio Brown. And we can watch him on the field because his team's a mess. His team's not a threat. The Oakland Raiders are not a threat. Outside of Antonio Brown, what do the Oakland Raiders have? They have a rookie running back who is supposed to be pretty good in Josh Jacobs. Derek Carr is all right. They're not going to make any noise in the AFC, and they don't even play the Steelers this year. So if Antonio Brown goes out there and gets 1,500 yards receiving and scores 10 touchdowns, who cares? We can just sit back and watch that and watch the talent that he is. And I said this, I wrote about this for 93.7 The Fan. He is much like Christmas Vacation. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Not just Christmas movies, but movies, period. And I love the scene when Clark Griswold gets his Christmas bonus that he's been waiting for. So he wants to put a pole in his backyard. He's been waiting for this Christmas bonus. He finally gets it, and it's something like it's a one-year membership to the Jelly of the Month Club or something ridiculous like that. And Uncle Eddie or Cousin Eddie is in the room, and he's a guy that's kind of out of touch of things, and he's a hilarious character in the movie. And right after Clark says that, you could tell he's about to lose it because he's been waiting all this time for this big chunk of money, this Christmas bonus to buy this pole, and he got this Jelly of the Month Club. And Eddie just says, "Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving all year round." And that's exactly what Antonio Brown is. As soon as you see him pop off on social media, as soon as you see him freeze his feet, as soon as you see him complain about his helmet and make a big deal about that, as soon as you see him hold out of multiple practices and get fined for them, and now post that letter on Instagram, you can sit back and say that's the gift that keeps on giving all year round, that the Steelers just got rid of this guy, they washed their hands of him, and we can enjoy the best of AB, the pure entertainment that he is, without the consequences. And that's the best part about him. And every time you see, by the way, Devin Bush out there, and hopefully he makes a lot of plays on Sunday against the Patriots, and hopefully he's not limited in his play just because he's a rookie, Mike Tomlin, it's a direct result of Antonio Brown leaving and doing all of this. Because they got those picks. Because they had so many at their disposal to move up and get him at number 10. Also think about that when it's Sunday and he's making plays out there, that we're getting the best of AB right now, even though he's not a Steeler. All right, coming up next, we're going to recap what you missed last night, as well as later. I have some predictions for the Steelers season. It's not necessarily for the Patriots game on Sunday, but just for the season overall. And we'll get to that coming up On the Fan Early Morning Show, I'm Matt Cole here until 5:40. It is 93.7 The Fan. It's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. It is the Fan Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole. Before we move on and we talk about the start of the new day, let's first wrap up what all happened last night while Yins were sleeping.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, so your Buccos took on the National League worst, I almost called them Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins last night. So they scored two runs in the seventh, the Marlins did, on a Garrett Cooper home run to make it 5-3. Then the Bucs made some magic happen in the bottom of the ninth. Second pitch of the inning, Elias Diaz went oppo with a solo shot, and so he made it 5-4. And then later in the inning, the Pirates, with their 3.32 hitting rookie Brian Reynolds, he stepped up to the plate in a 5-4 game. Everything on the line for him, and guess what? The rookie came through once again.
Here's the pitch. And a swing and a little poke out to left. Dean coming in. He can't get a base hit. Gonzalez races in. He juggles the ball. Here's the throw. It's offline. That's a wrap. Yep. Reynolds wins it for the Pirates.
How about this? How about this little program in the bottom of the ninth inning? And the fireworks go off. You just never know what's coming next, Joe.
You just never know, Joe. Thank you to Steve Blass. It's going to be weird not to hear him on the broadcast next year whenever he hangs it up. But Reynolds finished 2-for-5 with two RBIs last night. He's now 6 points behind Anthony Rendon from Washington in the batting title race. He also had a fantastic running diving catch in center field playing for Marte, who got the night off. And his teammates even marvel at what he has done as a rookie. Here's Trevor Williams, who was last night's starter on Brian Reynolds.
Tonight was really everything that we were seeing all year and really coming to manifestation. He has been hitting the ball, there's no question about that. For Reynolds to come to the yard today and see that he was starting at center field and do what he did, impressive.
So the Bucs get the 6-5 win over the Marlins and avoid losing two in a row to that, you know, poor team. And if I can be excited, if I can be positive about the Pirates here for a second, I really do wonder what they have in Brian Reynolds right now. I mean, he has such an efficient-looking swing. He makes contact so often. I mean, how many times do you see Brian Reynolds swing and miss? He's a perfect example last night when he blooped this fly ball into left field to win the game, that he just finds gaps. He finds where the grass is and just places balls there. And he can also hit for some power. He's got some pop in his bat, hit some line drives. But if there is something to be positive about right now for the Pirates, it's the way that this guy just flat out hits the ball. And at times his defense has been a little bit shaky, but last night he proved that he's at least MLB capable, I thought. After the game, he even said that center field was his most natural position. That's where he feels most comfortable. As long as Starling Marte is here, he's not going to play center field for the Pirates. But he showed you some range. He showed you that he is capable with the glove. And I think that's been up and down so far this year. But I think as he moves forward, he'll get better in that area. To me, Brian Reynolds just strikes me as a baseball player. He just knows baseball. He just wants to go out and play baseball. There's nothing else really to him. I mean, his personality is his personality. He doesn't get excited a whole lot, and we can kind of poke fun at him with that, but I think he's just a baseball guy. It's just what he does. He's all about baseball, and there are things that give you at least some hope moving forward for the Pirates. And seeing the core of the 2-3-4 of Reynolds, Marte, and Bell, and Kevin Newman somewhere in that mix. I don't know if he leads off or he bats sixth or whatever, but he's had a good season, hitting above 300 pretty much all season long. You have to feel at least pretty good about that. Reynolds with the rookie season that he's had. Marte's having a fantastic year, a career year, hitting in the three spot. And then Josh Bell, we all know the numbers that he's put up in the cleanup spot. So if I'm going to be positive about the Pirates, let me be positive about that 2-3-4 in the starting lineup. But there are things to not be positive with the Pirates about, and especially some news that broke yesterday with one outfielder in particular. We might get to that here in this next segment, but also I have some Steelers predictions for the 2019 season. That's all coming on the way here in the Fan Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. I'm Matt Cole. This is the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. We're taking you up till 5:40 when we get started with the Fan Morning Show pre-show and then the Fan Morning Show proper from 6 to 10. A lot of guests lined up today for that show. We'll get to that at the end of the segment. But first, I want to do some Steelers predictions here. We're all waiting. Look, we're all waiting for Steelers-Patriots. I mean, come on. This has been all week long. It's been all the talk on this radio station. The Pirates aren't doing a whole lot. There's not much else going on locally, but they are the show. It's Steelers-Patriots. I mean, we're looking forward to that. But I want to get to some Steelers predictions just for this 2019 season. The regular season obviously hasn't started yet. It's a blank slate. There's been all these projections and different outlooks that you've seen on different media outlets, maybe that you've consumed throughout these last few days as you get ready for this first game. I'll give you some Steelers predictions for this season for me. So the first one is that Jalen Samuels will have 500 yards receiving this year. So it's in today's Pass Happy NFL, there were 8 running backs that went over 500 yards receiving last year. 2 of them, in James White of New England and Jalen Richard of, or Richard of Oakland, were part of running backs by committee. Okay, there were multiple running backs in that system for them, and they still found a way to get 500 yards receiving. That's exactly where Jalen Samuels finds himself, firmly behind James Conner coming into this season. And I think Jalen Samuels can do this for a couple of reasons. One is that Samuels has a unique skill set. We forget that he went into the combine as a tight end. I mean, he's an H-back to almost the truest sense of the word. He's a hybrid running back. He does multiple things. He can run. He can catch balls out of the backfield and run routes. Those are the things that you want him to do, and he's shown that he's capable of doing that in the NFL just by his rookie season. And also, the Steelers have over 200 targets to replace with the departures of Antonio Brown and Jesse James last year from this passing offense. I think they're going to be a little bit more balanced this year, run to pass. I don't know if they'll do that intentionally, but the pass to the running back has become one of the most efficient, safe, and reliable early down plays in the game. There's no denying that. I mean, it's a high-efficiency pass, and it's open quite a bit. When that running back comes right back out of the backfield after assessing where the blitz is, or maybe it's designed that way, and I can even see Jalen Samuels lining up in the slot sometimes and being on the same in the same play as James Conner. And so I think 500 yards receiving, even though that seems like a big number for a running back, I think in today's NFL and the way that it's set up, the Steelers' offense is, I think he can achieve that. And also, there's no tight end behind Vance McDonald. I mean, do you really trust? Would you rather have Xavier Grimble out there on a pass play, or would you rather have Jalen Samuels? I mean, if you're really going to set up plays that, I mean, the two tight end sets are kind of a dead thing in the NFL, but I think Samuels gets even more play with nobody behind Vance McDonald. And another thing is that I hate to predict injuries here, but I'm predicting that James Conner won't play all 16 games. And there may be a point here where the Steelers lose a game when James Conner isn't in, and maybe we come back and say, well, you know, if James Conner would have been in that game, the Steelers probably would have won that one. And I simply say this because he really hasn't done it much. I mean, he was healthy for 14 games his rookie year, and he was healthy for 13 last year. So I think the rigors of the NFL are a lot different than college. Obviously, he dealt with different circumstances in college with the cancer that he overcame, but I really worry about the health of James Conner and that he can make it through a full 16-game season. Jalen Samuels is a nice back. He ran for 140 yards against New England when he got that start last year in December. Can he repeat that performance when he gets in those games? I don't know. And I think there's at least one game this year where James Conner is going to miss, where we and the Steelers lose, where we say, hey, that was the key factor there. Here's another one. The San Francisco 49ers in week 3 will be the Tomlin special. And you know what I mean by the Tomlin special. That game every year that the Steelers lose to an inferior team that they're not supposed to lose to. Yeah, that's going to be San Francisco in week three. They'll be coming off two big games to start the year. So on Sunday night against New England on the road, and then kind of a revamped Seattle team. They got Jadeveon Clowney on the defensive line. They're playing them at home in week two. I really do think the Steelers could be 2-0 and riding high coming into that game, and that's all the more why that could be the Tomlin special. But also there's this. There's history here. In 2018, the Steelers, when they went out on the West Coast, lost at Denver, at Oakland. In 2015, at Seattle, and they won at San Diego. In 2013, they lost at Oakland. In 2012, they lost at Denver and at Oakland. And in 2011, they lost at Arizona. Or actually, they won at Arizona and lost at San Francisco. So, total there, since 2011, under Mike Tomlin, when the Steelers have to go out to the West Coast, not when they just play West Coast teams, but when they go out to the West Coast, they're 2-7. Jimmy Garoppolo's back. That's a slowly improving roster. Kyle Shanahan's a great offensive mind. I think this is set up greatly for the Tomlin special. I think the Steelers lose in week three against the 49ers. Here's another one. TJ Watt will be compared to JJ Watt throughout the season, and they will race to see who the league's sack leader is. JJ has obviously been among the leaders in almost every healthy season. He's finished second behind one man in particular. He finished behind last year.
Guess who? Aaron Donald.
Yes, Aaron Donald. He had 20 and a half. JJ Watt had 16 last year. TJ Watt jumped from 7 to 13 sacks last year. And I think there is a trickle-down effect that I'm looking for here with the Steelers and with TJ Watt. And that is that Bud Dupree should be better this year from what we've seen in the preseason. Devin Bush in the linebacker play should be better. Just his natural maturation of his game, that is TJ Watt. I think all of those factors equal more blitzing specialization for TJ Watt and sacks galore. And so I think TJ and JJ are going to go at it for the sack lead this year. National analysts are going to be comparing them all year round. And so a final prediction real quick here, and this is something that I'm kind of wishing and willing this into existence. It's kind of like when you hear the sound that comes from an old car, like you hear a sound whenever you're going down the road and you think, this isn't happening. That didn't just happen. I didn't just hear that. I'm going to ignore it. I'm just going to assume that this car isn't going to just blow up in any second and fall apart. And that's that Chris Boswell is going to bounce back. I see what happened last year. I understand that. I'm trying to just ignore that noise. I'm going to hope that was just a squeaky wheel or a little rust spot, and I'm hoping that he bounces back in 2019. I'm just going to predict that into existence, or at least try to. All right, as we finish up here, we have a question of the day. I told you we'll always leave off with that, something you can take into the workday as you're heading in right now to ponder, to start the conversation with others. And today's is Pirates related, and I know that it's the Thursday before Steelers-Patriots, but if you can get your mind off of that for just a second here and just start conversations about the Pirates in September when they're out of it. It was announced that Gregory Polanco is going to have PRP injections and that he's going to miss the rest of this regular season, and they're going to reevaluate him for 2020. And so basically they're hitting another reset button on Gregory Polanco, and Pirates Director of Sports Medicine Todd Tomczyk said this today or yesterday, that they're going to have to reevaluate him for 2020. He does expect to play, but the question now remains, can the Pirates still count on Gregory Polanco as part of their future? Todd Tomczyk also said that they knew he wasn't going to have a regular offseason, a normal offseason, for the rest of his career. His shoulder is a mess, a complete mess. So can the Pirates actually move forward thinking that Gregory Polanco is part of their future and that they're going to get anything out of this guy moving forward? And that's the question of the day. For me, it's time to move on. You have to get somebody in there. You have to treat Gregory Polanco as if he's not going to be there, or that you're not going to get any production out of him. You have to get a guy in the offseason that you feel comfortable with and not Lonnie Chisenhall that's going to start in right field in replacement of Gregory Polanco. And the word bust is now being thrown around with Gregory Polanco. I'm getting there. I am certainly getting there. The podcast is live, folks. It's live. I'll put that later up today if you missed any of the show today for the early fan morning show. Colin Dunlap, Chris Mack, Jim Colony, fan morning show on the way. Pre-show next here, 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.